Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Host Advantage podcast, where I'm joined once again by our good buddy John and special guest appearance by Grant. Say hello to the nice people, Grant.
What up?
Long time friend.
Long time friend.
I finally bought a web camera.
Preparations were made for this night.
Gotta do it.
So today we're going to talk about well-designed multiplayer maps, or just maps in general, in video games. And I wanted to kick it off with strong start. Halo 2 Lockout.
Oh yeah. That's definitely
That's
one.
one I have actually on the other input that I found.
Right on. It's so many memories as a kid. Great for Slayer on 1v1, 2v2, 4v4. The map is perfectly sized for whatever. And back in the day, a buddy and I, we would always warm up on the map to get like our adrenaline flowing before we would actually start gaming together, like competitively, because we took it way more seriously back then. And I still remember like all of the call outs, like all of the little like rooms, like sniper 1, 2, 3, BR tower 1, 2, 3, the library, lift, elbow, shotgun room, like it's all still in my memory on like call outs before everything was like officially like named on the bottom corner.
I'm
You
pretty
know, I kind of feel like that's one of those things, sorry to jump in, but one of those things that like makes a map really, really good like that is that very specific positions where you can just say, oh, the tower or the BR tower or the corner or the library. Like you just know instantly where they're at without the game telling you or being confused, like which one?
It's small enough to know where exactly everything is, but it's not small enough to where everything is just fucking chaos all the time. I'm pretty sure that was like the first map that I got noob comboed on, because like when I pictured it in my head, I just saw the plasma coming towards me, and then I just got domed. And
Oof.
I'm pretty sure that was wasn't that a map where you could do like a laser sword glitch, where you could like lunge at somebody, but because they were on like a platform a little bit beneath you, you would just zoom past them and go off
Yeah, there were a
the
lot of like sword mishaps, and even
map.
like because some of the ledges were not connected and leveled, if you would lunge at somebody, it would stop you and you would just fall to your death.
Oh.
Gotta love the classic Halo physics. They're perfect.
Plus, I remember like the mobility in that map is really cool too. Just like being able to jump from the center onto like Sniper 3 little bow there. And I remember first discovering that if you shoot the fusion coil at the sniper tower, it'll knock the sniper towards you and you can like catch it and use it.
2000 IQ plays.
Oh,
I can
it
see it in the
was
compilation already.
MLG shit.
And like even just the way like you can throw a grenade and it bounces off BR3 and up, it was like I remember just trying to master all of this stuff.
I remember some games from like older games, like N64 levels. I feel like that's one that I put in a lot of work on, but that's also the one that I only had. So I have to add that GoldenEye is the game that everyone knows, right? Everyone knows about this one. The best one that I remember was Temple. Like everybody always wanted to play Temple because it was like so kind of sandbox-ish, but it was so basic, right? It was just open doors and like some kind of pits in the middle and weapon pickups all over the place. And I remember specifically there was one like main door that it was in the big room that you could open, but you would be hanging out in the big room and you'd see the door kind of open and you'd be like, oh shit, someone's coming. Like everyone would just right to the door. It was great. It was
Go,
just like it kind of like popped the weasels, like whoop, whoop, whoop. I do remember that one just being kind of like the best one because there was like distance so you could get see someone far off, but it was also like kind of curvy in some spots. I mean, it had everything.
So the reason I had my fingers crossed when you were going off of the map name is because I thought you were going to name the one that I put down, which was
Oh.
Facility.
I was thinking
Oh,
facility
that's number
too.
two. That's what I got. That's the other one I had.
Oh,
Like
fuck
that, I had
yes.
two of them.
Yes. I
Because
just
facility
remember
was the
I
absolute
yeah,
shit.
I remember specifically being in the bathroom and like having the vent that drops you down in the toilet, because I'm pretty sure that was part of the
Yes.
campaign as well. Like you
It
sneak
was. It
in
was. It was a
and
mission. You like started in the vent and came out of the bathroom.
That was the one map that I chose from GoldenEye. And so a rule that I decided with these maps is that so I wrote down like almost 30 maps, but I told myself like that's a bit much. So I think it's only fair that I choose the maps that I can think of the name of without having to Google it. And so facility was the only, because I could
Oh.
think of a couple other GoldenEye maps, but facility was the only one where I knew the actual name of the map. And so that's the kind of rule I gave myself, and I kind of crossed off like half the list. And so that's where I'm at now.
Yeah, I was also going to mention facility just because it also had the variety that you needed, and it had so many doors too. So the same kind of like concept of like, oh shit, the door's opening, you know. And I remember for some reason specifically, other than slappers only, right, is that there was, I think there was like grenades or something in the bathroom, and I just thought that was funny because you just open up a stall and just be ammo in it, like what?
Yeah, I remember using like the motion mine
Oh
detonators a
yeah. Oh,
lot in
proximity
that.
mine,
Yeah,
yes.
the proximity
Mines,
mines,
yep.
thank you.
The era of reloading guns where you just go ch-ch-ch. AK,
Yeah, like lowers.
pistol.
Rocket launcher.
Okay, so that was all I had for 007. Did you guys have any others for 007?
No, facility was one that I was going to mention if nobody else did. Just be like, oh, by the way, honorable mention facility. And then.
Nice.
In the list that I made, I kind of started with the oldest first and then most recent as of last. And so another one that I chose was Blood Gulch from Halo.
Good
I think that
choice.
one's just very iconic in the Halo franchise, clearly. And doing when I did a little bit of research of the place, I didn't actually realize that that map, as it progressed through different games, it had the same naming scheme around blood. So Blood Gulch, Coagulation,
Coagulation.
Hemorrhage, and then Bloodline in the Master Chief Collection. So I didn't realize that after playing Halo for, I don't even know when that shit came out, a long time ago, like 20 years
2000 or
almost.
something?
Jesus, something like that.
Yeah, common
But I
evolved.
didn't actually think
Yeah.
about the naming convention from game to game.
That's really cool. I didn't realize that either.
Yeah.
I love Blood Gulch, and I have that on my list as well because that was where you learned that you could pick someone off with a rocket launcher. Like you could sit on the other base and just be like, all right, I think it's right about there. I just hit it and watch it go. And like the payoff was so perfect because you just saw this little rocket and you're like, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh
Traveling
yes.
perfectly straight line.
Yeah, before physics was a
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah, that's where boys became men, and then we hopped onto
That's right.
Battlefield, and now we still do that shit with helicopters.
Oh, it's just so gratifying, you
It's
know?
so good.
Blood Gulch had the single greatest Halo double kill ever recorded. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it was with a rocket that was being locked onto a ghost. And the rocket like kind of curves when it's locked on and it fired and it hit the ghost. And as the ghost was kind of going up a hill, it projectiled and launched itself. And the dude who died by the ghost respawned on the map and the ghost took him
Oh
down.
shit.
And this was before
Oh.
like recording equipment was mainstream. Like this guy had like a camera pointed at his
Oh
TV,
my God.
just
Oh,
recording for
that good
fun.
old washout, you know.
And the reaction is so great. It's so worth it. And it's called that like world's greatest double kill or something like that. It's just they
Uploaded
knew.
like 2006 or some shit when YouTube just started.
Yeah.
Back in the glory days when every video was just that simple.
But like it's so weird because I thought about putting this map on my list as well, but I was kind of leaning not towards it. I know it's like really iconic to the point where it's even like in Fortnite for like a training ground thing, but like the
Wow.
map is just so like simple that it's not like it's just two bases in like a big old plane.
Yeah.
Like that's essentially it. So like it's great for its simplicity and like, oh, it's cool because you can have like a lot of vehicle warfare. But in terms of like map design, I would kind of argue it doesn't have much going for it.
Yeah.
But I guess that's just a testament to how fun the game is and being able to play in such like a big area despite having like not a lot.
Yeah, because I
You
don't
know.
think that there were like a lot of larger scale maps in that era, and so I think that's
Yeah.
what why Blood Gulch kind of stood out a bit more, because it was just like, damn, this place is huge. Oh, look, the ring goes up all the way. That's so cool.
You know, one thing I noticed that, like, as I kind of like branched out, I was trying to look up some stuff. I noticed that a lot of the kind of agreed upon most popular maps are exactly that way. They're kind of just simple. They're just like two bases and like some terrain and just kind of like duke it out. Just get in there and, you know, throw some punches. Mm-hmm. And I have another one that's about that. I don't know if you guys want to transition yet, but I noticed that, I don't know, that's just something I found, is that it's very simple. The simpler maps are usually the better ones in terms of gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next one that I have, I don't think either of you have played very much, or at least enough to know about it. Johnny might have touched on it like once or twice, but I put in Team Fortress 2, there's a map called Two Fort.
That's exactly the one I was going to reference as just really? Two forts and like shit in the middle, like, oh, duke it out, God, get out wow. there.
So I'm actually glad you brought up Blood Gulch leading up to this, because in my head, Blood Gulch and Two Fort are kind of opposites, where Blood Gulch is like a vast plain with two small bases. Two Fort is kind of the opposite. The plain is very narrow, separated like by one bridge, and then the bases are like the more like layered three levels where most of the gameplay happens. So like the map is like really versatile in that regard, because I remember, you know, you've got the bridge you can run across, or you can go in like the underwater ducts to kind of like hide from snipers, or you could be a soldier and then rocket jump yourself onto the third floor, and there's a bit of mobility with like the scout, how it can double jump and be quick. And I've put so many hours into that map just defending the briefcase and so many dumb spies. They're such children on the Orange Box 360 edition, which is what I played it on. Mm-hmm. I didn't play it on Steam or anything, so I felt like hot shit playing that.
Yeah, I think I had like a week or two phase where I played Team Fortress just because you played it and I wanted to like play a game together, and I was an engineer and I never knew why my sentry kept blowing up. And so I would just change a sniper or something. I don't know.
I really wish we could take some time and actually play some Team Fortress 2, because like for the amount of hours that I put into it, to not have any of my friends with me is pretty baffling.
Well, it can happen, Chris. We just have to get you a nice computer. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no kidding. I
mean, Team Fortress can run on a pretty cheap PC, but that's
we'll
just find one in a dumpster. Like, this, perfect. This piece of shit runs Team Fortress 2. There you go. It is yours now.
This is a Dell. It'll work.
It's a Dell Optiplex that an office recycled.
Oh, shit. That thing is bloated as hell. So I'm going to transition into a game in which I put in so many hours without ever playing with you guys. And I think you know what game that is. Battlefield 1942.
All right. All right.
The original Battlefield game. And everyone is going to talk about Wake Island. And obviously, I gotta respect that is just such a solid, solid map, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you have air gameplay, you have ship gameplay if you want it, and you just have so much good ground combat. And it's great how balanced it is. It's funny to kind of see a map like that in its actual kind of infancy that just kind of got it right in a weird way right off the bat, because you're talking about stuff that in later games you see a map that is completely dominated by aircraft or completely dominated by like a tank. Whereas this map is so balanced that it just kind of happened upon it. It's kind of funny just to see that. But solid map. I will admit, though, once I got later into playing the game, my entire task was like get in the airplane and sink the ships. That's just all I cared about. I was like, gotta sink the ships. I don't know why.
Nobody's on the ships, but let's sink them anyways.
Right, yeah, that was the thing. It's like, go sink the carrier. Like, no one's on the carrier, but like, fuck them. Like, have a good time.
But pilot instinct must destroy.
You know, I'd even get angles going, like, oh man, it was great. Me with the shit computer, it was fantastic.
Yeah. It's funny mentioning balance on a game that's like that old, because like I feel like I didn't even think about like balancing a game until like, I don't know, Modern Warfare 2. Like, that was the first time I thought, like, man, these Akimbo 1887s are pretty fucking annoying. And like before that, I never thought, like, man, this gun is like really overpowered. They should patch it. But that was like an era when patches didn't happen. So it's weird that they made it and it just works without there being like spawn camping or just base raping, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what was amazing to me about it is that I never really saw the kind of stuff that once I started getting into Battlefield 3 and the later ones, you'd see a lot of base raping happening. I was like, I don't remember this happening in the earlier games. Like, how did they get it right somehow? Just like, hey, let's throw in some stuff and let it boil for a little bit and, kick it out there to the kids.
Yeah, I probably just like a lot more moving pieces, I'm guessing, is what influences bad balance design. I don't know. That's what I would guess.
A lot more angles to not consider when making something. You adding more stuff to it and more complications can happen.
And it's funny too to see, like, or interesting at least to me, that this particular map was so ubiquitous that it ended up showing up in, I think, like another Battlefield game, Battlefield 3. I think it was also in like Battlefield 4 or 5, definitely had it. We just never ended up playing it, I think. But I remember playing in a Battlefield 3 with you guys, and like the exact same thing. It was like also pretty balanced, and you could kind of have a good war going, really.
That actually just reminded me. I remember they made the sequel to 1942 and made 1943 for, I think, the 360, and it was like $20, I think. And I remember Wake Island was on there, and it
Yeah, that
was,
was like one of the only maps or something like that, I
yeah,
remember.
it was like a very small DLC for Battlefield where it was just like a revamped 1942 and they made it 1943. But that was just a random side note that I thought of.
Yeah, I think I remember playing that at your place because that was before I had a 360, and remembering like, oh, this is definitely the same map. But I also remember like these skins are kind of weird. Like I don't know why. Like better skins, better polygons, and I'm just like, oh, this is weird. Like it wasn't normal to me.
So switching over from Battlefield, I have a Call of Duty map, which I'm sure is on both of your lists. Nuketown.
Talk
Small,
about
easily.
classic.
yeah, it's just small, fast-paced, really neat set piece too. Like the idea of being in a like modeled town for a nuclear testing area is really cool, especially at the end when the match is over, you see the nuke go off and it just like washes over everything. It's really neat. I always kind of like whenever games added that extra touch. I know Battlefield did that a lot, depending on if you won or lost, there'd be a small little cutscene that would alter, and it would just kind of make it feel a little bit more engaging and kind of more a part of like a single player experience, like a narrative.
Like kind
But
of you were more part of the game in a way, a
yeah.
part of a bigger storyline.
Yeah, especially when I don't think any other, I believe it was introduced in Black Ops 1, but I don't think any other Black Ops maps had like an ending cinematic when the game ended. So it's just like, holy shit, like they animated an ending once the game's over. That's pretty interesting. So.
And also I thought it was really neat how they were able to incorporate like it made sense having like a prop environment that has like plywood it's easy to shoot through, which incorporated the mechanics in the game. And also having mannequins kind of extrude about made it so
Oh,
that
the
you would
mannequins.
kind of get fooled turning a corner.
All right, so this next one that I chose, Grant, I don't think you were in the gaming scene quite yet, but Chris, I think you've played this game, or I think you played in that sort of era. But I chose Gridlock from Gears of War 3, or
Yeah, that was on my list.
Gears of War, really. So Gridlock, this was like peak 2007 for me. Like I played Gears of War non-stop, and so I remember specifically they had a game type called assassination or assassinate, one of the two, and each team of four has one like VIP, and as long as that VIP is alive, all the other people can still respawn. So once you kill that VIP, these are the last lives they have left. And so everyone kind of ran to like their stations and like protected the VIP while like grunts went out and tried to kill the other one. It was like a very cool like attack defend kind of thing. And it was made really well because the map was basically symmetrical, but the only things that were different were like little props in between, like in the road and in the traffic, because it's gridlock, so it's just like a big traffic sort of jam, and there's just cars strewn about, and they're in different places on both sides of the map. And what I really liked about it is that in Gears 3 specifically, there was an Easter egg where If you remember, the sort of theme behind Gears 3 was like very ashy and very decrepit. And so in Gridlock, there were like ashy civilians that were just kind of like frozen about. And if you manage to not kill any of those like dusty, ashy people, the next round that plays, Mad World will play over like the PA and like everyone can hear it and then and like fight to it, which was like kind of weird because it's like this very somber, sad piano melody and people are getting fucking chainsawed in half. But that was just one of the maps that I remember specifically from Gears of War where I just played it almost exclusively. There was a couple others like War Machine was really good, Raven Down I really liked, Mansion was awesome, but Gridlock definitely stood out the most to me. It's
Yeah, I
awesome.
agree 100%. I also really like Mansion just to boot on top of that. But Gridlock, I have a lot of memories of being in the upper levels near like the middle and like the kind of back, having the sniper or torque bow, whichever one was there, and just always avoiding the boom shot that people were trying to like shoot from a distance.
Yeah, if you put an active in that boom shot, it's a blast radius like quintuple flies, like it just goes fucking huge. That's probably not a word, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I thought that was really cool that they added the Mad World. Like, they didn't have to do that. And that seems pretty crazy that they would probably have to regain the rights to do that again so many years later, two installments later.
Yeah, I mean, they probably made like Gary Jules's fucking music career because that song, I'd never heard of it before, and it was in
Neither.
the trailers, and then 2 years later, it's still going on in the games. It's good. It's a powerful song. That's awesome. I love it.
I also like the idea of having that like game mode in it, because I've never really played that type of, protect a player on your team. That has big consequences. Like, there's always a game mode. I think maybe like Battlefield 5 or something has a game mode that's like, oh, protect the VIP. But then if the VIP dies, it's just, oh, just the new VIP or something. I like the idea of it having like actual consequences.
So Assassinate or Assassination, whichever it was, in Gears 1 was the least popular game type. And so my friends and I specifically played the bejesus out of it so that we got in like the top leaderboards and we got to like number 15 in the world, which was fucking
Damn.
nuts at the time
That is
because
pretty
there
crazy.
was a lot of people playing Gears of War, but not a lot of people playing Assassination. I think it was mostly Execution was a popular game type. And I want to say Warzone. I don't know.
I was also thinking Warzone, but I remember Execution was the one that I played. If it helps strengthen your narrative, I don't even remember Assassination or Assassin being a game mode in Gears at all, so I never played it either.
One person protected Hoffman, or one team protected Hoffman, the other one protected Rom.
Yeah, I remember that now that you mentioned it, but I don't remember the whole like respawning thing. That's really neat, actually.
I think that's an awesome game type just in general, and people should adopt it more because it's a very you play a lot more safe, and well, I guess it depends on the person, but there's a lot of high risk, high reward kind of thing because if you all go in, you might get their VIP, but they might get yours. So, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, that definitely works like on a map like that too, because you mentioned the cemetery. You can visualize, if you know the map, where you kind of hunker down and have like two people go out, one person bodyguard, and yeah, it's pretty strategic when it comes down to it. Going back to Battlefield, I would be remiss if I didn't have Operation Metro on here.
Oh,
Good old Metro
it's
Clusterfuck.
already time to get smoked. Let's go.
Oh my God, Metro has so many memories.
I feel like this map shouldn't be as good as it is because like each stage, each like quadrant or portion of the map is like so different from everything else, because like there's a point where you're outside in like the French city and then you go inside and you have like the escalators and all the corridors, and then beyond that you've got like the underground portion with like the metro tracks, and then you have it, everything just feels so different, but it connects and it feels really tied together.
Some French city. I think that's supposed to be Paris, bro. Like, that's a pretty big name city. But I also do agree. I like how there are definitely three distinct zones within the map. but they all make sense going together. Like, it's kind of not forced in a way. They kind of just, you know, it's almost like taking the train into the city, right? You start at the base, which is in the tunnels. You work your way up through the escalators, out the station, and into the city. Like, to me, that makes, like, so much sense versus sometimes you see a map where something's really forced in there. Like, oh, we force this corner or tower in to make it cool.
And, like, even, like, differentiate those, like, different color palettes, too. Because, like, when you're indoors, it's, like, a little bit more, like, cold colors.
Yeah, very
like,
blue.
Like, blues.
I'll be, like, blue.
And then when you're outside, it's more warm colors because of the sunlight. And so it feels very distinct. The only, like, kind of slight argument I could have is that if you join a game in progress and you're just getting spawn camped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes that can be a bit annoying, but I feel like there was more spawn camping in the outside portion than there was in the inside. But like that was still like, even if we were getting spawn camped, it was still kind of fun because like there's so much like to see from, and you can see like, you know, the two buildings and like kind of the middle area and then the street. And there's just so many places to take cover and flank from, and you can stay back and snipe if you want to. And even when we were, recording a long time ago, and like we were smoking people from the spawn, like we were in the buildings, you know, boom, firing them like 50 meters just, away.
Just prayers, just send it. Like,
and then you get that little hit marker, and then cue the montage music, and that was amazing. But that map,
I want to say that, like, I believe that's the map where like smoking started, because I believe we got to the 100% point where, you know, we were totally like, you know, base raping someone, and we're just like, you know what, this isn't fun anymore. And so I think we figured out like, what can we use to like have fun and screw around? And that's when we came up with like, I could just fire these rounds. Like, if I get a lucky shot, I'll hit someone.
And if I miss, they won't see me. So it's a win-win situation.
Yeah. Kind of harmless because you're not really actively hurting them unless you hit them. But like,
it's not easy.
You know, give them a chance.
Yeah, it's definitely a feat when you hit somebody with a smoke, because it's, I mean, sure, it's a one-hit kill, but your hitbox is so small. And so you gotta lead it, and
aim get for that, your blood going, yo. It just like feels good.
The 6 stars with the GP30 smoke was where Metro was, where we got that medal.
You are a god.
You are a god. Amazing. So much material from the JDon YouTube channel came from Operation Metro.
Shameless plug.
Shameless. Yeah.
That message that you received, Grant, on Xbox made that whole experience worth it.
I think that was the peak of my gaming life. I don't think I'll ever be better than that.
Yeah, the dedication was recognized and validated.
Respect.
That's all I needed. I just needed someone to say, "Hey, bro, like, sick."
Because like, what's a server star? 100 kills.
100 kills.
So that's 600 kills you've gotten. That's 600 people that have
600 plus. Thank you.
Yeah, at least 600 people that have died and seen. Possibly that you have 6 server stars with a fucking smoke launcher, and one person messaged you. One out of 600 plus. That's just hilarious.
I mean, I don't want to go on about this too much, but like, can I also talk about just how gratifying that is? Not just like, oh no, I shot someone with a sniper rifle. I got the kill. Whatever. No. You were instantly gratified because as soon as that hit marker hit, you just saw a big puff of smoke, and you were like, "That was it." Everybody knows who that was.
There was a dead body in there.
It's basically like seeing a big blood splatter. You're like, "Yep, I got the kill," but instead, it's just a big cloud of smoke that just instantly just pops up. You're like, "Boom, magic show, got him."
I mean,
disappearing I act.
Yeah, just gone because you couldn't even see the body. It was just
yep. And then you'd hear like the sound of it like sort of dispersing, and then you'd hear Grant scream, and then you'd see in the corner Mr. Deke and 320 smoke.
My favorite times of playing that too was like when we lived together and I was in the next room and you had the mic that would pick up me screaming before it came to the stream.
Those are awesome days, man. Oh my god.
You just fall out of your chair.
Damn, I was gonna say
that. Oh man. Metro, yeah, that was like LAN party material for that era, because I remember
24/7 Metro.
24, yeah, 300% tickets. Sometimes your Xbox would crash, like Those were the nights.
That was really heart-wrenching whenever you would be in a match for almost an hour just to get kicked in the last, like, 5 minutes.
Like, you're getting sweaty. You want it to – you're like, oh, the game's about to end. Finally, I can go to bed. And then
it's like 3 in the morning.
And then you're, like, reloading your 320, and you freeze, and you're just like, guys. Fuck. But enough about Metro. We can go on for fucking – hours about
we could
Metro.
Just we could talk for 3 hours about this
could be the whole episode.
Pretty much, yeah. Who wants to go next?
Who was last?
I was.
Oh, you were last. Let me check my notes here.
Actually,
do you want me to stay on the Battlefield 3 theme?
We could tack on maps while we're on the game, because I wrote down some, which I'm sure we probably match up on.
Guaranteed ours are the same. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with my Slavic nature and go with the next map of Battlefield 3 that was great, which is Caspian Border. And let's just say that design was perfect. The visuals were great. It was one of the first games in which I remember there being a levolution. And that was at the era when that was starting to become a thing. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated it, I guess, because Battlefield always appealed to me because you could destroy walls. You know, there was a kind of an aspect to it that was more real that you really felt in Caspian, because the tower would come down, there was that big wall that was going on, you show up with a tank and just blow the shit out of the wall and knock it down, and you're like, you know, that's real. Like, when I take a tank round as a, like, player, like, I want to see a payoff, right? I know that this has a lot of energy in it, and I just hit a wall with it, I don't want to see the wall continue to be there, I want to see it gone. Like, I gotta see that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just also remember that, once again, it was a good balance between vehicles on the ground. You had your two air vehicles that could kind of do their thing. And I remember them not being very dominant all that often. Like, occasionally you'd get a couple guys that would just kind of run the game. But you could also kind of deflect it in a way. I do remember if there was two guys that was like, you know, the jets were just kicking your ass, you could kind of parry that with a good ground attack. Just at least on the ground, because they couldn't do a lot once you had the defenses. I just really appreciated that. Yeah, Stiglitz, let's go.
Stiglitz, yeah. Or just if they fly low and slow.
Oh, RPG.
Feet, 6 feet deep you go.
Oh, what's that? Didn't you record a video of, like, us in the tank and it was the helicopter flying low? And I'm like, you won't.
Yeah. Battlefield 3 was just... It has permanent residence in my heart, because it's just such...
Lives in there rent-free.
Rent-free, easily. And they can live there as long as they want. It's perfect.
Oh, kick up your feet.
Have a beer, whatever. But as a quick little addition to that, since we're on Battlefield 3, I also wanted to add Operation Firestorm and Gulf of Oman are just two fucking fantastic maps that I love so much. Firestorm has, like, perfect vehicular warfare. It's ginormous, and so you have those two mountains that people are having sniper battles on. And so if you're, like, between the objectives A, B, and C, and you are, I don't know, getting bored, you can just grab your M98B, run all the way up the mountain with the Jeep, or walk, whatever takes less time, and just throw that bipod out and just look around and miss all your shots because it's so far away, and the physics in that game are so accurate that it's
crisp.
It's hard as fuck to hit people, especially if they're moving, and you have to, like, zero them in and be like, all right, this guy is, like, I don't know, 20,000 meters away, let me dial that in. And then spend 20 minutes trying to hit them just to get killed by a helicopter. It was awesome. But Gulf of Oman, switching to that one, was particularly awesome because of the Haboob that came in. Which,
that's right.
That was also the dawn of weather events too.
Weather. That was so awesome. Because vehicles, like air vehicles, are now fucked because there's zero visibility, and so everyone switched to ground warfare, and it was all close up, and it was just, I don't know, something about the weather changing was just so cool to me. I don't know what it was. It was just like just probably this global happenstance that I thought was really interesting because it affects everybody, and it was just awesome.
I would argue that the change in the weather affecting the map is more substantial than, like, taking down a giant building.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Taking down a building, like Battlefield 4, Siege of Shanghai.
Yeah.
Really cool map. You have this giant skyscraper that can come down. Like, that's cool, But you could even argue, like, when the tower comes down, it's a little bit of worse of a map. It's like less interesting
Oh,
to play
and the
on.
frame rate.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
everyone's ever that those 20 seconds is when everyone's computer's fans start ramping
But like when you have something like Paracel Storm,
Yeah.
where the tide, like the waves, like really like turn, and if you're in a boat in any naval combat, you're screwed. You can't snipe from a distance. You can't really fight each other anymore. So it kind of forces you to change your strategy. Like Haboob comes in, Snowstorm. I can't snipe anymore. I have to really put my boots on the ground now and go out on the field.
And while since we've mentioned that, Paracel Storm is also another map that I wrote down because
No,
it's
you
just
gotta.
ginormous. The Megalodon Easter egg was hilariously
Oh, that's
awesome.
great.
Oh yeah. And like you said, the waves, like sending that carrier like crashing into the beach is just like
So
that's
cool.
fucking cool. Like that's a spectacle for at least like a few minutes, and then it changes like the whole
Destroyer, thank you.
take two of these,
Sorry,
Grant.
I like the Navy stuff, whatever.
Grant, you have two strikes.
Two straight, yeah, three, and then you get banned from this room.
I got one here and I got one here. What's up?
Banned from the podcast. But yeah, Paracel Storm. I would argue that the one thing I think that makes that map kind of suck is, and I guess some of the maps in Battlefield 4 in general is just the vehicular balance. Because like, if you get in a helicopter or if you get in a jet, like if you play your cards right, you can be untouchable. And so that's something I hope they fix in Battlefield 6. But that's another podcast.
And if you ever
Yeah.
dare switch to a rocket launcher that can lock on to helicopters or choppers, you're just going to get kicked from the server.
People don't
Oh,
like
yeah,
when you ruin their fun, even if they are like 120 and 8, and you shoot them down
the
once and maybe throw a couple tea bags in because they fucking deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is my server. I could do whatever I want. No Stigla, no C4, no smoke, no blah blah. Like just a whole list of
No
everything
smoke. No one has that. Nobody has
I would love how like in parentheses it'd be like, have fun. Like you just
Oh,
like limited all of my fun.
when you spawn in the first time, it's like have fun, smiley face. Like, I can't have any fun because you're just kicking the shit out of me in this helicopter. Like I can't do anything, man. I will add though, I absolutely like huge fan of the weather events because me being somebody who's like actually into historical stuff and kind of like a tactical kind of blow by blow of some like battles or how that affected the way that it worked. So weather is something that is super overlooked in video games. Especially, I mean, the early ones I kind of give credit to because they didn't really have the availability to do that. But every other game that you played was just completely clear in a million, and you could do it everything you wanted. When Battlefield started throwing in the sandstorms, the big storms, the snowstorms, I mean, stuff that reduced visibility and stuff that kind of made it harder for you to do your job, I really love that because a thing that gets overlooked a lot again is just in real warfare, that's kind of part of the warfare is like, hey, my gun jammed because it's really cold outside and it's like locked up. Like, that's a part of warfare that doesn't exist in games.
Having to adapt.
Yeah, I think another reason that I personally, and I'm sure we all love the weather, is because it takes all the pilots out of the air.
Yeah.
Because
You
they
mean all
can.
but one?
Yeah, Grant stays in the air until he
I'll crash. I
doesn't.
don't care.
Yeah,
Going
he'll go
down with the
down.
ship.
Grant goes down with his ship. It's a pilot's
That's
sort of
right.
oath that he has to make, so.
I have we beat Battlefield to death yet? At
Well,
least Battlefield 3.
actually, did you have a Battlefield thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have, yeah, okay. Well, let's keep going.
Okay,
All right.
Grant or Chris, take it away. Sorry.
Okay, beating the Battlefield horse to death here. I wanted to give some love to Bad Company too.
Yes.
Okay.
I did Arica Harbor.
Yes, I put that one too.
Yeah, my
Arica.
man.
Love
That was the
Arica.
tow missile one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they all had
Yes.
tow missiles,
That,
but.
I mean, I for some reason, like this map, obviously we're going back in time a little bit to before we had so much like processing power and like space and hardware to do all this. Arica Harbor was like very kind of snake-like. It was very narrow and it would take you down like a path starting in like the desert where you have like all the vehicles just like charging forward and you can kind of go up on a mountain or down on the ground level where they have like two small bases and then it would expand onto like a city with like railroad tracks and everything. And it was kind of like Metro to me, although a little bit less like closed off. Like this was all outside. There was no like real confined areas, except for like a few buildings here and there that were just kind of planted along the road. But I just really enjoyed playing this map. And I also have like the memory of all the music in Bad Company 2 playing, like the build up was always got me hyped.
The loading screens alone got me. I
Bah.
was like, yeah, the burn. I was just like, oh, I'm fucking ready to launch some mortars at people. Like, this loading screen is getting me pumped.
You're feeling it, right? You're just like, let's come on.
Someone punch me in the face. Adding on to Bad Company 2, so I put two maps. One of them was Arica Harbor, the other one was Atacama Desert. I loved that map so much, especially with the UAV in the middle. The UAV in itself was just a funny mechanic because you just stand there on like an arcade machine. And if you see somebody in the UAV, you're like, all right, well, I'm gonna go kill you and just end this shit because it's annoying having this little, it was like this big, I feel like, flying around just shooting people, doing like two damage per hit. But just that map in general was so much fun, especially when there was one video, shout out to the other channel, of course, where we put Grant on a fucking ATV.
I was about to mention this.
And we put AT mines and C4 all over you, and we blew it up, and you just died. But the ATV got launched to the other side of the map, which is just like a testament to how large the Bad Company maps get.
Our fatal flaw was having Grant put down
Yeah,
C4
we
mines.
didn't really think about that.
I was upset about that. I'm so glad you recorded it because I would have been so pissed if I didn't get to see the payoff because I just instantly died and I couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I want to see this thing go yeet.
Another quick mention that I wanted to add. I don't know if this was implemented in Bad Company 2, but in Bad Company 1, there was a map called Oasis, which was my favorite map on Bad Company, which pretty much introduced me to the whole franchise and got me hooked on Battlefield. So Battlefield 1942 wasn't really what got me into Battlefield, it was Bad Company. And so Oasis was that first map where they had like the howitzer, which I'm pretty sure didn't make it into Bad Company 2, where the attackers had their own mortar that they could launch artillery, and it was awesome. That was just one of the main maps in Bad Company 1 that basically brought me into the Battlefield franchise. So shouts out to you, Oasis.
Bad Company 1 is actually my first Battlefield as well. But I got onto it right before Bad Company 2 was coming out. Like I remember all the promotional commercials and ads for it. And a few of our friends showed me, and I'm so glad they did.
Man, I forgot about that Bad Company 2 trailer. That was awesome, but that didn't make it into our
I was just thinking of that. Like I was like, should I shout out this trailer that we did a whole trailer cast on and didn't mention it? Because that trailer was rad.
was so
Missed
awesome.
opportunities.
Yeah. So that's honorable mention. If we just shout out the last episode, we talked about trailers, and that trailer should have been in there where they did like a
It totally should
coordinated
have.
attack on the tank, and it was awesome.
It got me to buy it.
Yeah. It was awesome.
All right. So I have just a couple more maps from Battlefield just so we can kind of be done with
Can you tell me like Battlefield?
Can you tell me the
Yeah.
entire lineup of maps they have?
Bro, let me tell you what we got. I really just wanted to add in, this is kind of just for my personal like benefit to the world, I guess, is once again we're gonna go back to 1942 real quick so I can be fast. Two maps that really standed out to me, stood out, was El
Like
Alamein.
three.
Yeah, like three. Was the El Alamein map. That was like just great desert warfare at that kind of time. And the whole reason I liked it is because you had the B-17, which could just wreck shit if you wanted to. Like if you had a little bit of defense to it, like those bombs would just go boom. I mean, you could own the map, which I loved. But I also loved how big it was and how much you could kind of work with it in a way. Like you could get in a car and kind of drive everywhere and be in a battle, or you could take the plane and be in a battle. I mean, there's kind of dispersed in a good way that would be dispersed well, not just like dispersed to the fact where I remember the later Battlefield games where you'd be running for like an hour and then get domed like as soon as you get there by
Running
some
simulator.
sniper. Yeah, that's all it was. But this map was like, get there and no matter where you're going, you could get to the action pretty quickly.
I don't know how many times I've fallen asleep running in Battlefield. It just took so long and it was so late. It's happened more than once.
Oh my god, find a Jeep next time.
Let's go back to the carrier. Let's go
back to the carrier.
When I would like snap back to reality, I would just be running into a wall. I was like, oh god, okay, turn the camera.
The other one I want to mention real quickly, once again for my own benefit, was I really liked the layout of the map Midway. It was a good map, not only for kind of local multiplayer, but the online multiplayer also had like the let me back it up. The local multiplayer had two ships, which was, you know, pretty cool. It had a carrier and a destroyer like most of them, but the online had like a battleship, a carrier, like a destroyer. I think they maybe had two destroyers and a submarine. That was like the only map that had a submarine in it. And honestly, only like Battlefield or kind of wartime map game that I've played that has a submarine. And I thought that was the coolest shit. And also the fact that they actually put some historical context in it was really got some brownie points for me. Was like they put a tiny little island, which is basically what it was, and then two ships or two fleets on either side. I'm like, that's all right. I like this. Like, there's a lot of good gameplay here.
Only in Battlefield.
Only in Battlefield. That was also the only map where they had aircraft with torpedoes, which cool as shit.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And no other game had that until I got into, like, you know, computer games like War Thunder and shit, but that's specific. So
Battlefield always had like really rad intros to their maps, like spawning on like a carrier destroyer and like taking boats to the shore and like using the jets to come around as well and your attack.
Oh, just mobbing running with the fleet.
Like that was the first time I remember in a, I can't remember which Battlefield it was, but there was a map that had a huge drop off over a helipad and you would parachute to their bases.
That's on my list.
Hey, Grant, if you want to take the reins on that one, I can't really remember too much about it.
So the name of that map, John will remember this, is called Demavand Peak, I think it was.
We call it DP and, for short.
Yeah, DP for short. And it was one of the best Rush maps that everybody has forgotten for some reason. Because it was so cool. You started out at like this kind of like mountain base, whatever. They had a big radar dish or dome, I remember. And you take over the first objective, and then it would go to this helipad. And like, oh no, the objective's so far down. How do we get to it? Just bomb it, bro. Just go.
Jump. Dun, dun, and some, dun, 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 people, some people were brave enough to get a Humvee past all the barricades and just fucking, ooh. I'm pretty sure.
It was great.
I think there might be a video of us doing that. I'm not sure.
You have a video of it. Shout out again. The video was, I love it, because people would just like realize you could sit on top of the helipad and kind of snipe down. And there was like four of us up there sniping because we were just dicking around. And I remember John gets a helicopter and pushes us off. And we're like, oh shit, what was happening?
What happened? Why am I falling? Who pushed us?
Yeah. I just love the intro to that, though. It's like, you know, you can't really jump out of an airplane yet. That's not really a big thing in a game. But like, you know, go bombing off this massive cliff and like parachuting the objective and be firing while you're parachuting. Yeah, it was awesome. Great stuff.
Was awesome. I loved that. And then some people would get a little ambitious with a helicopter because you dive and then you can't recover and you just fucking
just goes
plummet to earth and explode. I'm like, oh, that guy is going down pretty quick. And then I see this person committed suicide. And I'm like, yep, he should have.
Is no more. Is no more.
That was the way. Yep. Yep. That's the way.
That, honestly, I'm glad we got there because that's pretty much all I have, so we can move to a different.
Are there any more Battlefield maps? I think we named like a lot.
I'm happy with what we've called out.
I mean, DICE makes some solid maps. Like, if at least DICE LA makes some solid maps in Battlefield.
Good distinction.
Yeah. Battlefield 4 only had like, I mean, those two that I mentioned, Paracel and Siege of Shanghai.
Yeah.
But the ones in Battlefield 3, they're just like, they're bangers. There's good small ones. There's good big ones. There's honorable mentions that I didn't write down because there's just so many of them.
We could do a whole episode about just Battlefield 3 maps, to be honest.
Easily.
Yeah. I also just like how all those maps have one thing in common, and it's kind of just like Battlefield putting together a base map and just letting you figure shit out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to make all these gimmicks. Just figure it out. Get your fists in there.
So we're going to put Battlefield on a pedestal.
We're
going
to put it back in its trophy case.
Yes, that's exactly what I meant.
Sorry, let me close it up with the glass and lock it.
So I'm going to transition back over to Call of Duty.
Okay.
Because I've got one more that I wanted to mention. and that's Rust.
Of course. You can't have this episode without Rust.
The joke of a decade, 1v1 me on Rust, is so, it was so, everybody would use it. Like, oh, what do you want to order for pizza? I want pineapple. I want pepperoni. 1v1 me.
It's where disputes were settled.
Exactly.
Or,
that's
where boys became men.
Or it's where people would hack lobbies and glitch it so that you have infinite grenade launchers. And
I'm glad you mentioned hack lobbies.
That was the fucking best.
Because I will never forget being at a friend's house playing Modern Warfare 2 and stumbling into the modded game. I remember very vividly on the corner would have like the map screen and it was all like snowed, pixelated out. And we're like, what the fuck? What is it glitching? And then we spawn into a ground war on the smallest map in the entire game where there was like no time limit, zero respawn time. And we were having so much fun. I was like, I'm losing my mind. I'm going to go home and get on so I can play with you. And he's like, okay.
Just absolute chaos. Like shipment is sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which and is, it's like, yeah. It's exactly what happened. So I got home and I was able to call in an AC-130.
Oh my god. Having that huge salvo as your main weapon, firing it like it's a fucking minigun, just carpeting the map in destruction. Holy shit. The hit markers. Holy shit.
It was the first time I ever got a tactical nuke, and I didn't use it because I didn't want the match to end. And I was so upset because somebody else called the nuke and ended the game. Pissed off because I could have gotten the achievement for it.
Bitch.
What an asshole.
You're doing God's work, though. Good man. Oh. Very honorable.
It was insane. I remember everyone's like, did you call the nuke, Chris? I'm like, no, I didn't. I'm trying to call mine. It's like, I can't.
I love the maps that, like, or at least the games, probably a different episode, but just something that allowed you to be as chaotic as you wanted to be. Like, throw the rules out the window within reason and just get out there and have a good time. That's what, you know, me and John would play shipment sometimes, and I don't know why I love it so much. It's absolute chaos.
That's another map.
Skill doesn't matter. You just run around and do whatever. And it's just, you know what? This is great. I need chaos sometimes.
I believe it was the first Modern Warfare that introduced shipment, and it's still around, and I almost only exclusively play it because I just love that. I just love firing javelins on a map that's like 4x4, like it's tiny, and so the javelin covers like half the map, and it's just such a clusterfuck for upgrading your weapons and leveling everything up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much fun. Everything's fast-paced. You feel like you're laser-focused, and everything's running so quick, and it's just a solid map. I love it.
I love it too because it's the only map where you're never upset that you killed yourself with a javelin. You just have to laugh it off.
Yeah. Enemy by the shipping container.
Enemy spotted by the shipping container. Which fucking one, man?
But yeah, shipment is... I'm surprised shipment isn't like on... it's not used kind of like Rust is like 1v1 me on shipment. It's like you get the dispute out pretty quick too because it's even smaller than Rust.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you spawn pretty quickly.
Yeah, within 5 seconds, within like 3 seconds, you'll be face to face with them. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's all good. Shipment's awesome. It's so simple. It's basically just a square with four containers in the middle, and then you know some shit everywhere else, and it's perfect. Chef's kiss.
John, do you have any more you wanted to mention?
Oh boy. Okay, so I wrote down a lot for Call of Duty because just like with the trailer episode, a lot of these decisions were made because of nostalgic reasons. And yeah. So a lot of Modern Warfare 2 maps were written down. I won't go into a lot of detail, but I'm sure as soon as I say them, you're going to be like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. So the first one was actually, it's a throwback a bit, was in Call of Duty 2. This was in like 06. There's a map called Carentan, which was, I think it took place in France. It was just this awesome, it wasn't a very linear map. It wasn't like long hallways or choke points or anything. It was very kind of scattered. There's not like a certain area where a lot of battles happened. But Carentan was like the one Call of Duty map that I always played when I played Call of Duty 2. And I remember it was so long ago that I actually went to one of those like internet cafe places where they have like a bunch of computers, and it was the place was called The Front. And I played with like friends from a long time ago, and we played Carentan, and it was just a very fun experience. That was like the first game in general where I felt like, oh, cool, you can like aim down the sights and see like them through your iron sights. That's so cool. That's like such a new concept. Wow. Now it's like 15 games later. But yeah, Carentan was just, it holds, again, place in my heart where kind of everything started, because that was like my first multiplayer game next to Halo. Because Halo, I was probably at that time more of a Call of Duty fan than Halo, just because my friends played Call of Duty more than Halo, and that was kind of before I played with you guys. But that was pretty much it for Call of Duty 2. Moving on to Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2, these maps were, it was hard to narrow them down. I did cross off a few that didn't make the rule where I have to remember it by name. But the first one was Estate, which was a ton of fun. It's basically just like this giant house and estate that's on this
Oh, in
slanted
the
hill.
forest, right?
Yeah, it was in the forest. I remember playing a lot of Search and Destroy on that map with those friends, and it was just a fun time. Favela, I remember specifically because that's where a lot of people use those Akimbo 1887s, and it pissed me off so much. And I remember specifically there was a GIF from a long time ago where it was like Commando Pro is OP, and it showed a guy with a tactical knife, and he like lunged like 50
Oh
meters
my
and knifed
God.
somebody.
I
And
think I remember this
it
GIF.
was on that map specifically. And again, search a lot of Search and Destroy matches on that one. High Rise was also very popular. Just two tall ass buildings on the roofs. Helipad in the middle. Lots of Search and Destroy there. Quarry, Rust, Wasteland was also awesome. Just this giant grassy area. I think there was like the Out of Bounds area was radiation because it was in Russia
It was
or
the
something.
Chernobyl map,
Yeah, it was
yeah.
in, yeah.
Because that was part of the campaign, right? That's like one of the
Yep, that was
biggest campaign
where you were in ghillie
stories.
suits and yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last one from Modern Warfare 2, which I think I can say was my favorite, was Terminal. That map was
Good
awesome.
map.
Oh, that one came back in like a bunch of other Modern Warfares too. I think in maybe a couple Black Ops. That was just a solid map.
Yeah, it was, I can't explain what was awesome about it. It was just awesome.
Good memories or something? I don't know. Yeah, agreed.
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah, I would say arguably the best map in that game.
Yeah. Definitely one of the top of, I know I narrowed down the list twice, but I'd say that was probably the top one of those.
I'm gonna take my last one right here as my Hail Mary, like wild card pick. And it was a map in Kirby's Air Ride for the GameCube. It was the City Trial map. And it was just this big map. It was the best way I can describe it is like the most battle royale map before long before battle royale even existed. And by GameCube era standards, it was a big map. And it had terrains that ranged from like this is like the little forest section, this is the city section, this is the volcano area, this is the skyscraper, and you would just use your air machine and you would hop on and you would try and like collect upgrades for like a final battle, basically. And I just remember it being so cool because one, it was like the biggest map I had ever played in like anything at the time, like 20 years ago. And there were also like little mini events that would kind of happen randomly depending on like the match itself, where like a giant UFO would come in and it would like alert you, and you can get on top of the UFO, you get more upgrades there. Or, oh, there's a meteor shower coming and they would like kind of fall from the sky and damage you if you get hit. And it just kept things interesting for me. And I just played it endlessly by myself again, although I wish I had people that played Kirby's Air Ride. And when I was looking at the list, I was like, I know there's something from GameCube that I can put on here that deserves the spot. And for some reason, Kirby's Air Ride did.
So, I don't want this to go like too long, but now that you mentioned Kirby, I kind of realized that you guys had like no suggestions that were like Smash levels.
I, you know, I fuck. I just, so when
Aren't
Chris,
there
as
like
soon as Chris said GameCube, I was like, holy shit, we played
Yeah.
Smash like religiously Corneria, Final Destination. I can't believe I didn't think of that.
Yeah, those are great. Yeah, the star. The Corneria is the one with the starship, right? Yeah. The Starfox ship that like they come in and like shoot you if you get in the spot. Yeah.
I didn't mention anything from Smash Bros. Because in essence, Final Destination, done. Like it's just a platform. I wouldn't say it's like good map design, but again, it's just a testament to how great the game can be. But yeah, like Final Destination and Corneria are all great.
I mean, that's
just give me a platform let me duke it out with someone.
That's where the Wombo combo was.
Final Destination, no items only.
That's where the sweats play.
and now, in Smash Ultimate, you can make every map a Final Destination or a Battlefield map.
Because they know, you just give them a platform, let them work shit out.
That's their rust.
That is their rust.
Another thing I kind of wanted to, I guess, bring up, like, I don't know how you guys want to proceed now, but another thing I wanted to bring up was, does it really count as a multiplayer game if it's a, like, racing map? Because you have Mario Kart that has some incredibly iconic maps that are technically multiplayer because, like, you are racing, but it's not what you think of, so.
Yeah, I'd say Rainbow Road is a good one.
Oh, just number one for sure.
Yeah, but which one? Double Dash comes to mind.
Double Dash is my favorite. Yeah,
I put too much work on Double Dash. Like, I got to go with that one.
Yeah.
I'm glad we have reached a consensus.
64.
Yeah, we went from, like, Nintendo 64 to Xbox to Xbox to GameCube, and now
all over. We're just jumping around. We're having fun.
There's no consistency in these episodes. But speaking of inconsistency, when we were talking about Halo maps, I actually forgot one. Sandtrap in Halo 3.
I'm glad you mentioned Sandtrap, because now we're kind of like teetering into like, oh, these are fun stories that we have on these maps. Yeah. And then when you said that, I brought, go ahead.
That's where I first started editing maps, and Forge mode was like this new awesome thing that I hadn't known about before. And so I would make like, okay, well, let's just make a, let's put a chopper here. I think it was called a chopper, right? The brute.
The Hornet.
The thingy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And put like, I don't know, a grav lift in front of it. And a pile of fusion coils over here. And just fucking drive into it.
Let's break the game.
I was like, wow, this is awesome. And then people made better custom games, like zombie games on Sandtrap, where zombies have like 500% movement speed and hammers.
Yes.
And the survivors are in warthogs. And they're driving around in the out-of-bounds area where mines will pop up and randomly blow up and you have to avoid them. That shit was so much fun. Like, the best custom game memories are from Foundry, which was another one, and Sandtrap, which was just so much fun. I remember just, like, getting teary-eyed because people were... I would just see a warthog teetering, and it just fucking blows up.
Honestly, playing... Because when I was gaming, my brother was older than me, and he would usually hog the Xbox because he would have his friends, and he would play. The day that I finally had my chance to play was on a Sandtrap map with zombies, 500% speed, warthogs, everything you were just describing. This is going to sound stupid, like, changed my life. Because, like, I don't remember...
Then the portal was opened.
It kind of was. Like, I don't remember having so much fun... like in my life until like that is like the most fun that I can remember as far back as I can. And I would just get in warthog, I would just like slowly teeter the warthog, and I would get splatters because they were going so quickly. I got like 16 kills because they would instant spawn and they'd all be jumping at me, and I was like one of the last survivors, and I was just laughing hysterically, just at sheer joy.
That amazing map, stuff. The elephant was such a fun vehicle to drive. That was
I love the elephant. Fuck you if you don't.
The elephant was the only, or Sandtrap, the elephant was exclusive to Sandtrap. You couldn't put in any other levels, which I thought was awesome. Until of course they brought Halo to the PC. Then you can put it wherever the fuck you want. But it was exclusive to Sandtrap, which I thought was really cool. But yeah, that map was just so much fun. Getting with like six of your friends back when 360 parties would like get full. Those were the days.
Mm-hmm.
When there wouldn't be just two people in the party, like, oh, I gotta go get some water, I'll be back. When it was just constant talking, it was just somebody was always fucking around.
Yeah, push up on the D-pad or whatever.
Push to talk. I remember that.
Ooh, That was before my era, to be honest. I was putting in work on 1942 in that time.
Or mercenaries.
Yeah. Oh,
oh my god. Oh,
man. I wish there was a map I could talk about mercenaries, man. That was just destruction. It was, I don't know, it was amazing. You get paid for blowing shit up. Like, who doesn't want to do that? Anyway, I feel like this is going on kind of long, so if anyone has anything extra, we should add it in, and then we should just like kind of talk like we normally do, if y'all got time.
Yeah, I was thinking we game after this, but
yeah, I mean, I'm that was my Hail Mary was the last one.
Yeah, that's it for me. I don't got any anymore.
Yeah, I mean, without going like I thought about the racing thing, but I was like, nah, it's not really the part of it. And like any other game that I play is kind of like more flight related, so there's nothing unique about the maps.
Sky maps?
Like, oh wow,
in them
you can go up and down. There's nothing there. Cool.
Wow. This one's got a zeppelin in it.
Wow, Rio de Janeiro.
That's neat. As you look out the side of your window at 20,000 feet.
Hi, like, Jesus.
There's Jesus.
Look, let's fly under his arms. Oh, I crashed. I mean, I'm sure we could. I'm running in my mind of other things I could talk about because I have a suggestion here that I found from a Battlefront game. And I know you guys didn't play Battlefront, but, you know, the Star Wars game. And everyone loves Hoth because it's obviously from the movies. And I saw some gameplay from it because it's been a while since I've played. And I was kind of looking at it going like, yeah, that's fantastic. Why don't we, like, absolutely love this? And I just was reminded of, at least, I mean, even on the Xbox, Battlefront just looked so good. Like, the explosions were crisp. You felt like you're kind of there. I mean, just I don't know. I could go on and on.
Great.
Yeah, I remember the audio design was impeccable. Wasn't there like a black hole grenade of some sort? Like
it would kind of like it made like a sonic sound or something, and then kind of like implode and it would suck things in. Oh, it was great.
Awesome.
I just remember one game. I was just kind of running around, and like a TIE fighter comes out of nowhere. You know, it just got shot down, and it just hits this rock in front of me, and the noise it made, just like, and then the explosion was like that was fantastic. Like. Great. I was blown away. I had to stop. I recorded it and I stopped. I was like, that was just, I'm not going to top this.
I'm going to come.
holy fuck, I'm going to come. Nah, but that's pretty much all I got for maps. I could go deeper, but yeah, good stuff.
I think that about wraps it up for this episode.
Yeah.
So with that, I wanted to thank everybody who decided to listen to us. Three white idiots talking about dumb stuff. We really appreciate you. You're the real heroes.
Yeah, we've been talking for an hour and 10 minutes now, which is, I mean,
that's
it's
weak.
It's a lot, but we could have gone longer, which is crazy to me.
Thanks, Battlefield.
Yeah, how many times have you driven home from one of our houses when the sun was coming up? Let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one of the other ideas to name this podcast was Linger Kings because we just linger so fucking. You can thank Chris for that because we linger so fucking much after like hanging out at someone's house. We just before we leave, we're like, "Hey, you want to talk about girls or games?" It was always
games. Then we just chose games.
You want to talk about girls or just awkward silence? So Battlefield's pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
I got a sweet triple kill yesterday.
Cool. Have you ever touched someone's boobs before? No.
I think I did once, but that was a dream.
But I got a tactical nuke. But it's cool now because we're mostly married, so sorry, Grant. No. Oh my goodness. But yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for sticking around for so long if you made it this far. If you have maps, please let us know because we probably glossed over some and forgot them. And we'd love to just hear those recommendations back. Just for the sake of knowledge and nostalgia, if that applies.
Yeah, let us know.
And Grant, thank you for joining us for this episode. We hope to have you back.
Yeah, MVP.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad the schedule worked out. And like, I don't know, I'm happy to have some input. And I'm kind of excited to see if anyone kind of wants to comment and like say why I'm wrong. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see y'all get in a huge fight, you know? It's just,
on the internet?
I love chaos, you know? Ridiculousness and chaos. That's why I'm here.
Grant needs to shave his beard.
I do. This thing is long as hell, man.
And why is there a closet theme going on with this episode?
I'm the one who's supposed to be in the closet.
There are no clothes in my shot at all.
right, it's not a really polished room, okay? Whatever. It's a small house, deal with it.
All right, well, once again, thanks everybody for joining us. We hope to see you in the next episode.
Thanks, everybody.
Peace.
Thanks. See you.